Everyone standing on your feet all over the house of God. He is worthy to be praised. I said he is worthy to be praised. Matthew's Gospel, the second chapter. Hallelujah. Matthew's Gospel, the second chapter. My goal this morning is not to exegete particularly this entire text. This is Jesus being born. And the moment that he's born, he's under attack. There are nuggets that I want to pull out of this narrative that you need to understand about where you are right now and about where you are going. That is my goal this morning. And so I don't want us to get lost in the idea that I am preaching just the Christmas story. I'm using the story to help shape a prophetic declaration in your life this morning. And that declaration is that you are protected by covenant. Just look at your neighbor and say, I'm protected by a covenant. I'm protected by a covenant. The Bible says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? These wise men were searching, but they didn't know where he was. Where is he that is born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied. For this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Oh, this is going to be good. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Yeah. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Yeah. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. I don't want you to miss this part. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Yeah, that's how the story goes. The Bible says that on coming to, and then when they were come to the house, they saw the young child. Oh, go to the next verse, I'm sorry. Verse 12. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Yeah. They departed to their own country another way, or another route. Verse 13, here's where I want to go. And when they had gone, and the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. The Bible says he got up, he took the child and his mother during the night, and he left for Egypt. He stayed there until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. I want to preach to you from the subject matter called covenant protection. Father, we thank you for the word of the living God. We thank you for its purpose and its intent. For the word is quickening, sharper than any two-edged sword. Its purpose is to divide asunder soul from spirit, and to discern the intentions of our heart. Father, speak such a word to us that it doesn't change some things, but it changes everything. May it cause us to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus. May it transform us by the renewing of our mind. Touch our heart so it's open to receive the word. And on our ears so that we're able to hear it. The most important thing, Father, is that you have your way. Do whatever it is you want to do in this place. This is your house. We are your people. And we will give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor for what you have done, for what you are presently doing, and for certainly what you are about to do in our lives. In Jesus' name, you agree, shout amen. Amen. I want you to smile at your neighbor real quick. Come on, look at him. Smile, 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 smile. Real big, real bright. Show him everything God has blessed you with. If you got gold teeth, be happy about it. They're yours now. It's okay. Look at them and say, I'm protected. I'm protected. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Yeah. I want to bring us to a place very quickly, that'll help us understand the context of the story that we've opened up. And it is simple in the context of when God is instituting something new, he must first get us to the place of thinking covenantly. Of thinking covenantly. You have to have a covenant mind to understand a covenant concept. And to have a covenant mind means that you have to know that regardless of what is intended for your harm, God has the capacity and the power to make what was intended for your harm turn out for your benefit. So it is true, the saying, when we see in Isaiah that no weapon formed against us can prosper. We misread that text because we don't read the text before that particular text. We don't see that it is God who is saying through the prophet Isaiah that it is God who's made the individual or the entity that will come up against you that has the power to form the weapon. It is God who has orchestrated and made the thing that forms the weapon, because in a philosophical fashion, if you will, to take it that route, you would have to think that everything in the earth is in existence because God had the capacity to create it. And so whatever weapon is formed against you, God has the power over that weapon, because the weapon wouldn't be able to form without the material that God created. And so having that thought, that mindset that no weapon formed against you can prosper, brings you to the place of understanding that the weapon forms. Sometimes it forms into the point where you're in the middle of it all. That like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you're in the furnace. It's not like you weren't in there. And so God is not trying to marginalize the circumstance of what you go through. No, he's simply trying to use it and to show you that it could mean something else rather than what you think it means. It doesn't mean that God has abandoned you. It doesn't mean that God is mad at you. It doesn't mean that you're outside of the will of God. It actually means something different. It could mean that you're on the right track and the enemy knows it. It could mean that you're about to do something so powerful that this little bit of calamity and circumstance that you're facing at the moment is a bit of a distraction to think you to, oh God, who am I talking to? To cause you to think that your destiny is being interrupted and delayed and that you're never going to accomplish it. But the devil is a liar. This means something different. So when you have a covenant thought, you have to stop saying, why is this happening to me? And you have to start confessing it a different way, saying, what else could this mean? It could mean something completely different. Stop thinking that the knowledge that you have is the only knowledge that is available. You have to stop looking at your situation and circumstance as if it's dictating to you all the information that there is. Touch your neighbor real quick and say, this could mean something different. The pressure and the intensity of the problem that you feel could mean something different. I can tell you prophetically, it doesn't mean that you're going to lose. It means that you are about to win. It doesn't mean you're going to be taken down. Who am I talking to? It means you are about to get a big victory. No, you don't hear. It means that somebody is about to see the power of God on display in your life. It means you're about to have an addition to your testimony. It means you're going to have some new information for somebody else about the goodness of God operating in your life. I dare you to find three people and say, it means something else. It means something else. The problem that you're facing right now means something else. Okay, let me get you into the covenant thought, the covenant mindset. When you have a covenant mindset, God can then have a covenant conversation with you. He can begin to talk to you, and sometimes God can't talk to us consciously, so he has to talk to us unconsciously. When our mind is rested, when we're sleeping, when we're dreaming, we miss all the cues of the people he brought into our life to tell us, go this way or do it like that. We ignore them because sometimes circumstances gives us compromising information that makes us want to self-protect. And so you want to protect against another thing happening to you. And so you shut down consciously, and all the various ways that God wants to talk to you, you don't want to hear it. So you miss a few services. You don't go to the Bible study. You can't get help. You turn on the radio and the commercial is talking to you and you can hear God in the commercial, but you tune that out and you change the channel because you really don't want to hear it from God right now because you're self-protecting. Look at your neighbor and say, you know he's talking to you, boo. You know he's talking to you. You don't want the dream. You don't want the vision. You don't want the burden of the vision. You don't see the burden as beautiful. You just see it as a burden. You don't want one more idea. You don't want to be pregnant with another vision from God. You don't want to mount up with wings like an eagle. You just want to sit where you are and be left alone. Look at your neighbor and say, that's called self-protect. I wish I had somebody in here, because having faith hurts sometimes. I wish I had somebody to talk to. It hurts sometimes believing God and standing on the word and being disappointed and it's not happening when you want to. Oh, look at your neighbor and say, he's coming right down your road. And you done all and you think you can't do nothing else. And then the Bible tells you stand some more. And you're like, no, I don't want to stand. I want to sit down. And I just want to be left alone. And here comes another word, and here comes another inspiration, and here comes that person you ain't talked to in years, encouraging your spirit and prophesying to you and telling you, thus saith the Lord, and you're like, just leave me alone. So you go on vacation, and when you go on vacation, you don't take nobody with you. But on the plane, the person next to you is talking to you about purpose and talking to you about destiny and talking to you about vision. You go to the bar because you don't want to be saved today. And when you get to the bartender starts talking to you about purpose and starts talking to you about it. Who am I talking to in here? And starts sharing that he's looking for the Lord. And do you know how he can find him? And you're sitting there looking stupid because the answer is on the inside of you. And you have yet to realize that the answer that you're looking for, you're trying to hide from, because you're the answer. That's why God has you in the fiery furnace. That's why you were thrown in the lion's den. That's why you were in the middle of the trouble, because you have an answer being birthed in your spirit for somebody else. Oh, I dare you to high five three people and say, you're an answer, you're an answer, you're an answer. You're an answer. Joseph was an answer to Mary. Joseph was about to divorce her, and the angel of the Lord had to come to talk to him subconsciously in a dream and say to him, don't be afraid. Take Mary as your wife. What she is carrying is born of the Holy Spirit. Had God not been able to have a covenant conversation with Joseph, Mary would not have the natural protection, the protection in the natural that would get her to where she needed to go, because what she was carrying was that precious. God gave her a preview of how precious it was, and he came to talk to her consciously. He didn't have to talk to Mary unconsciously, because Mary was in the state or mindset that was in a covenant mindset. So the angel came to her not in a dream, but came to her vividly right there in real time and said, "Hail Mary, you are highly favored and blessed of the Lord. Look at your name and say, I got favor, and favor is my protection." Come on here. The Bible says the Lord will bless the righteous, and with his favor he shall surround them as with a shield. That means what you're carrying, what you're about to birth, don't rush it, Phillips, but I got to tell somebody, what you're about to birth is so powerful, it needs its own divine protection. And God has gone through a lot of work to keep you covered for such a time as this. That's why the fire couldn't kill you. That's why the problem couldn't take you out. That's why you hadn't lost your mind yet. Oh, who am I talking to in here? That's why when you wanted to quit, you just couldn't, because the word was like fire shut up in your bone. That's why when you said, God, I'm done, I can't do it no more, he sent the right person at the right time to give you the right message to pull your mind out of that dark place and say, come on, try one more time, and watch, you see the power of the living God show up in your life. My God, I feel this thing in here. So God comes to angel to Mary in real time, and sends an angel because she's in a covenant mindset, and he can give her a covenant preview of what's to come. Look at your name and say, get ready for a coming attraction. Get ready for a coming attraction. Oh God, the only reason you go see the movie is because of the trailer. Y'all ain't said nothing. Because you got a sneak preview of what it was going to be like, and you say, ooh, that looked good. That's how you got to look at your future. Look at your neighbor and say, my future looks good right now. It's a coming attraction. Some outrageous, some ridiculous, some magnificent blessings are coming my way. And God is trying to give you a prophetic preview of what is to come. That's why you got to be in a covenant mindset. Slap your neighbor high five and say, God can do something outrageous for me. I know he can do something outrageous. I've seen him do it. But I have to change my mindset and tell myself that God can do something outrageous for me. I'm sorry, touch your name and say, he's still in the intro. He's still in the intro. This is the intro. I'm just giving you what I gave you the last couple of weeks. In the preview, God can show you a coming attraction. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. Now, I'm giving you a preview of what is to come. His name shall be called Jesus. He's going to be awesome. He's going to be great. He's going to touch the world. He's going to change the world. It's a preview of what is to come. And Mary said, well, be it unto me according to your word. Her mindset was in covenant status. Her mindset understood covenant. And sometimes we don't understand that covenant is a contract. Yes, in the natural, it is a contract. It is a concept of uniting another person in a lifelong agreement. And it is unfamiliar sometimes in our world because we don't understand that, because we break our contracts. We have laws that can break contracts. You enter into a contract with somebody that's legally binding. There are loopholes and laws that can get you out of the contract. For instance, like you went and got the credit card. That was a contract. Yeah, they said, we will give you this card in good faith, that whatever you put on this card, you're going to pay back to us. And so you can use the card because you ain't got the cash. Y'all ain't said nothing. And so that's a covenant. I give you the card, which is like giving you my cash. I'll charge you a little bit of interest on that card. That's how I'm going to make my money. I'm also going to give you a couple of fees that I ain't going to tell you about. That's also how I'm going to make my money. I wish I had somebody. And I'm going to give you this card. And so you took the card and you used the card and you ran it up and you ran out of the cash and you didn't have money to pay for the card. I wish I had somebody. And then there's a whole nother company, a B2B, that'll come in and say, you know what? They don't have the cash, but we can get X amount from them. I wish I had somebody in here. And if you take X, you'll forgo or you'll forgive the rest of what they owe. That's called a covenant breaker. That we do that all the time. We go into these other covenants. They're called marriages. Yeah, I can't get help. And we says, I do. And we say, it's going to be forever. And it's going to be, okay, I can't get help here from nobody. And things don't work out and stuff don't happen. And I don't like you and you don't like me. And I want to set you on fire. And you're going to shut me on fire. And I can't get help. And so we get out of it. You know what I'm saying? We're used to not having covenants that really mean anything, because if we really want to get out of it, we can. I'm not knocking your marriage. I'm not knocking your credit card bill. No. I'm just saying that as a cultural thing, when we have covenants today, they really don't mean anything to us because we have the power and the ability to do something else. If I don't like you, bye. Huh? There's a court that says that we can have irreconcilable differences, and because of our differences, we can separate this contract and we can get out of it. There's a law that says that if I don't have the money to pay you, I can file bankruptcy and you can't extract any money from me, and I'm protected under the law of bankruptcy. Y'all hear what I'm saying? But biblical covenant is different. Yeah, it's not a thing that can be broken. It's not a thing. Covenants were so serious in ancient times. They were so serious that they were solidified in one or two ways. That they were so serious that they took a long time, because you were telling another family or another entity or another person that I'm putting my whole life on the line. And ultimately, the most serious covenants were blood covenants. They were blood covenants, and the two parties would sacrifice an animal and split it down the middle, and then they would walk through the blood of the animal and say, I will become the best half of this contract, of this covenant, and you become the other best half, and together we will seal this thing, strength upon strength, weapon upon weapon. Your enemy is my enemy. Your foe is my foe. That was the level and the intensity of the contract. And so all throughout scripture, God made covenants. He made one with Adam. He made one with Noah. He made one with Abraham. He made one with David. He made all these covenants. He made one in the Garden of Eden. And then all of those covenants were predicated upon a human being trying to keep some form of the contract that they could not hold up their end of the bargain. So God said, I got a better contract. I got a better covenant built on better promises, that it's going to be by blood and not just by sacrifice. I don't need your goat. I don't need your sandal. I don't need your handshake. No, I'm going to make a covenant with myself. And when I make the covenant with myself, I'm going to shed my own blood. I can't get help. So that when I see my own blood, I know I can hold up the end of my bargain. Slap your neighbor high five and say, you don't just have a covenant, you got a blood covenant. And it's not your blood, but it's the blood of Jesus Christ. And so wherever God sees the blood, he goes to protect. Wherever he sees, wherever he sees the blood, he puts his protection there. Oh, I wish I had somebody talk to. Slap your neighbor high five and say, I got a blood covenant. The blood of Jesus Christ is the thing that protects me. When he shed his blood on the cross, I got divine protection immediately. It's a covenant that can't be broken. It's a contract that cannot be annulled. Slap your neighbor and say, it can't be broken. It can't be broken. God made a covenant with himself that cannot be broken. This is not predicated upon some guy's promise. This is not a human thing. It's a supernatural thing. And so you have a covenant that cannot be broken. This is why you have to understand, when you're carrying something that's precious, a vision, a dream, a promise, like Mary is carrying it, it's going to be protected. And I came to tell somebody this morning, whatever you're carrying in your heart right now, you better believe it is protected by the divine power, by the blood of Jesus Christ. It is protected. Your kids are protected. Your business is protected. Your house is protected. Who am I preaching to up in here? I know you're worrying about your babies, but baby, the blood of Jesus will cover all. You gotta plead the blood over their life every morning before they go out the door, before they leave your house. You might not be all the way saved or know every scripture, but you better believe you can plead the blood of Jesus. I dare you high five three people and say, I plead the blood over everything in my life, over my business, over my kids, over my marriage, over my body. I plead the blood of my God. I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost in here. There's still power in the blood. It never loses its power. It still has the power to wash away my sins. It still has the power to make me whole again. Precious, precious is the flow. I wouldn't have made it if it wasn't for the blood. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the blood. I'd have lost my mind a long time ago if it wasn't for the blood. You have covenant protection, and it is in the text now. All right, I'm out of the intro. It is in the text now that we can find this concept of covenant protection. Mary and Joseph have to go back to Bethlehem because of a census. Bethlehem is the town of David. Joseph is from the lineage of David. There was a government census that had everybody to go back to their hometown to be counted. Because of the census and the time that they got to Bethlehem, there was no room for them in the inn. There was no hotel room. There wasn't even a Motel 8 they can stay in. Nobody left the light on for them, you understand? There was nowhere that they can go. There was nowhere that they could stay. There was no room for them. So they had to find somewhere to have their baby that was safe. And the safest place that they had to have their baby was in a manger. This is in a cave. This is in the place where people keep their animals. It is not suitable for birthing, seemingly. It would seem as though this is not the place where you want to give birth to something that's going to be so great. God, when you gave me the covenant preview, you said I was blessed and highly favored. But now it comes time for me to push this thing out, and I'm stuck in a dirty cave and in a manger. So God, when you gave me the preview, I thought that I was going to birth it in a comfortable place. Oh God, who am I talking to in here? I thought I would be at the Four Seasons somewhere. I thought I could birth this thing out at the Ritz-Carlton. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying? I thought I could be at Johns Hopkins with the best doctors and the best nurses and the best care. I wish I had somebody here. But you got me on this dirty, dingy floor where animals and hay, and this is where you're going to birth the Savior of the world in a cave? That's only suitable for farm animals? The preview doesn't look anything like the real thing. This is why we gotta be careful with our praise, because you learned how to praise them for the preview, but you had not learned how to praise them for the painful place. Everything that's worth anything in your life is birthed out of a painful place. And I want to find that praise that comes from the place that says, you don't know like I know. No. What God has done for you. Y'all sit down. I'm just. Don't rush me. So he gave Mary this preview. Huh? And now they get this information that they got to go to Bethlehem and that they got to have their child in this horrible place. And watch me now. You don't hear what I'm saying. So when we see the story, you know, the Christmas story, you know, shepherds from the, you know, shepherds and the Magi, and they're all coming. They see the star. We misread and we misunderstand because we see the story of them in a manger. You don't hear me. The birthing happens in a painful place. The birthing happens in the painful place, in a place where there's no room for you. So every door shut. Oh God, who am I talking to? You've been told no more times this year. And it almost made you throw in the towel, and it almost made you say, God, this must not be for me. You launched some stuff and you saw the preview, and then you found yourself in a manger in a spot that you weren't supposed to be in, because this is not where you're supposed to birth anything, right? Slap your neighbor high five and say, you're in the right place at the right time. You're in the right place at the right time. The good news about birthing in the horrible place is that many people don't have to look a lot of places to find you. Oh God, who am I talking to? Had they been in a hotel somewhere, they had to check every hotel room. They might have got tired, and they were carrying gifts for your future. They were carrying resources for your future. They were carrying resources for your future. They went to the innkeeper. The innkeeper says, I have no room for you in the inn, but I do have a room for you in my manger, in my stable, and that's where they have to be. And so they birthed a child there. And when we read the story, oh, come on, watch this now. When we read the story, we read it because the shepherds came and the Magi came, and you know, in our text it's just the Magi. And it's not three wise men, it was Magi. Stop saying three wise men. It's wise men. Yeah, okay, yeah. So wise men came. And we don't know how many men there was. They were just wise. They brought three gifts. Come on. And so the wise men come, and they come, watch me now. They come to Jerusalem. They don't go to Bethlehem. They come, okay, I can't. Which messes me up. They says, we've seen his star. Glory to God. We seen his star. And so when they saw his star, the star leads them to Jerusalem. And when they come to Jerusalem, they go to Herod, because Herod is the king. And he says, well, king, we saw the star. This new king is being birthed. So I'm going to come to the old king because a new king is being birthed. And so wisdom says, go to the king that's in place and talk to him about this new king so we can present these resources. So when they got there, the Bible says, come on, say what? The Bible says when they got there, they went to the king, and the king said, what are you talking about? He says, yes, where's this new king, the king of the Jews? We've seen his star, and we've come to worship him. And Herod says, oh, wait a second. Time out. What you talking? There's some other king about there. Oh, no, the devil. And I can only hear Herod going, oh, no, the devil is a liar. No, we're not going to do that. And Herod says, no, I'm going to kill this thing. I'm going to kill this thing before it can be birthed out. I'm going to make sure I'm going to kill it. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. This is why you're being birthed in a place where nobody can really find you. You don't hear what I'm saying. This is why the door was shut. This is why there was no room in the inn for you, so that nobody can know where you really are for real. And so the Magi says to him, well, we're going to go and find him and worship him. And Herod says to them, no problem. When you find him, come back and tell me so I too can come and worship you. Another reason why you have to be birthed in a manger in a horrible place is because the folk that find you first are the folk that are really for you. The folk that find you after you come up are the ones that's really trying to take you out of here. So prophetically, slap your neighbor real quick and say, you're being protected from fake people. Come on here. That only want to stop and disrupt what God is about to produce in your, I wish I had somebody here, your life. Oh, I thought I'd get a few folk to high five somebody on that. Don't rush me, man. Not everybody is for you. And I know we toss stuff out there like that without context. Here's why they're not for you. It's because they see their time is up. Oh, God, you don't hear what I'm saying. They see their time is up. They see you breaking away from, you don't hear what I'm saying. I'm talking to somebody specifically. They see you breaking away from having a need to be needed. And this is why you keep them in your life, because you had a need to be needed, but it's draining you and it's draining the lifeblood out of you. But God is about to set you free from that proclivity to be needed. You ain't got a shout on it, but I know I just set somebody free right there. Oh, slap your neighbor high five. Say, I'm going to live in 2019. Yes, I am. And no devil in hell is going to stop me from accomplishing my dreams, my goals. Bye to all fake people, fake friends. Bye. Bye. You ain't killing my destiny, Jack. You ain't killing my dream. I can't stay down here with you. I can't stay broke with you. I got to get better. They don't want to come worship you. They want to come kill you. They don't want to help you. The Magi looked at Herod and said, okay, sure, And they left. Why did the star lead them to Jerusalem when the baby was in Bethlehem? I can't get help. Why did the star lead them to Jerusalem? When the baby is in Bethlehem. Look at your name and say, because God is an instigator. You see, they're going, they're trying to kill me. And God going, I know. I instigated the whole thing. You forgot you're covenantly protected. 1,000 will fall at your side. 10,000 at your... He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Slap your neighbor high and say, I ain't scared no more. I ain't scared of the arrows. I ain't scared of the spears. Because I got an anointing to walk right. Slap your neighbor high and say, you're anointed to walk right through it, baby. You're anointed to walk. All hell can be breaking loose and you can walk with peace and understanding. Oh, God. Oh, who am I talking to? Slap somebody and say, I'm walking right through it with the peace of God, with the understanding of purpose, with the protection of covenant. Oh, I wish I had somebody to get your walk on. And tell the devil I'm gonna walk right through it. Because if I don't walk, God can't work. Oh. If I don't walk, God can't work. If I stay still, if I stay scared, I can't see the salvation of God. Walk right on through. God instigated the whole thing. Herod wasn't even looking for Jesus until the Magi showed up and said, we're looking for a king. He would have never known had they went on and went to Bethlehem. He'd have left Jesus alone. But leaving Jesus alone, watch me now, derails the covenant harmony of God's eternal purpose. He prophesied that his son would come out of Egypt. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Oh, God. And God's word cannot return unto him void. It must accomplish what it was sent to do and prosper in the thing he sent it to. He instigated the whole thing. Look at your name and say, it was instigated. The reason it was instigated is because it is a divine initiative. There is no need to be intimidated. Come on, here's my points. There's no need to be intimidated because it's instigated. God instigated the circumstance that you're in right now. There's no need to be intimidated, threatened by the circumstance, and unaware of God's protection while you're in the middle of the circumstance. You're in it, but it ain't in you. You don't hear what I'm saying. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, no need to be intimidated, baby. You're in it, but it's not in you, meaning it's not forever. It's not forever. It's just a process that you have to go through right now because of God's covenant harmony. This is a prophetic thing that's going on in your life. In other words, God has orchestrated something that you are a part of. Slap your neighbor high five and say, you got to learn how to play your part, baby. You got to learn how to play your part. Yeah. Mary is playing her part to the T because she remembered the preview. So when the painful place came, she wasn't intimidated. All right, if I got to birth it out in a manger, I'll birth it out in the manger. Slap your neighbor high five and say, but the manger is temporary. The manger is temporary. Yeah, you had to birth it there, but you can't feed it in the manger. Oh God. So God has to give you some permanent conditions where your baby can flourish and grow. Slap your neighbor high five and say, did you miss the house? Did you miss the house? When we read the text, the Bible says when the Magi showed up, they did not show up in a manger. Contrary to popular opinion of everybody depicting the story that Mary had a little baby in a barn. Yeah, that's where it was birthed, but that's not where it was kept. Because when my baby is birthed, my gift makes room for me, and the room that wasn't in the house now suddenly opened up. Get my text back up here because y'all gonna miss me. All right, 5 minutes, I promise. I'm done. Come on, get my text. Yeah. No, go back. Come on. No, back 14. Yep, 13. Come on. Come on, keep going. That right there. Yeah. I slowed down when I read this earlier because I knew we would miss it. And I like to lost my mind when I read it. All the years of watching the Christmas stories and seeing them come bring gifts, Lord have mercy, to Jesus in a barn with some hay around them is not biblically accurate. Because the Bible says, when they will come into the house. I just want to lose my mind real quick. Yeah, I had to birth it out in a painful place. But God never leaves me in a painful place. He takes me to a place of provision and a place of sustainability. Oh God, don't get mad about the manger. The house is on the way. Oh, y'all don't want to have no church. Y'all don't want to have no church. Slap your neighbor high five and say, the house is on the way. The house. My God, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I don't need your shout. I'm prophesying to somebody right now. The house is on the way. I don't know about you, but if I was believing God for a house, I would lose my mind right now. The house. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and they worshiped him. And when they opened their treasures, Lord have mercy, they presented unto him gifts. Slap your neighbor and say, gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The gold is because you're gonna have to go to Egypt and you're gonna have to raise your baby in a foreign place. Yeah, I wish I had somebody here. So you're gonna need resources to travel. Slap their neighbor high five and say, you got resources, come on here, for your destiny. That's why you don't need to be intimidated by what you're going through right now, because God instigated the whole thing. And the reason he can instigate it is because his integrity is on the line. For the Bible says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, God's integrity is on the line. If he said you're going to be blessed, then you're going to be blessed. If he said you're going to be healed, then you're going to be healed. If he said the vision's going to come to pass, then the vision's going to come to pass. Whatever God said, that's what. I got 3 minutes. I got 3 minutes. Watch this. I got 3 minutes. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Jesus don't need no gold. He's a baby. But Joseph do. You can be cute and shy all you want to. I need resources for where I'm going. And I came to prophetically declare the reason why God shut the door is so that God can put you in the right house, so that the resources can find you in the right house. I wish I had somebody. Slap your neighbor and say, I got resources for my journey. Frankincense is a perfume oil. It's a perfume oil that's put on. They use it in oil essentials today. And they use it for peace. It calms you. It is the oil that keeps you calm and peaceful when you have to travel. Slap your neighbor a high five. I say, I got oil for my journey. I got oil. I wish I had somebody. So I got resources. And I got the anointing to take the distance from where I am to where I need to go until my baby is full grown so that it can walk in this place. I wish I had somebody to talk to. Slap your neighbor high five and say, I got oil for my journey. I got oil. Myrrh. Myrrh is also an ointment. It has a fragrance, but it's not like anointing oil. It's an ointment, and it's used when you get cut and when you get bruised, and it's used for healing. It's like a balm. I wish I had somebody in here. Slap your name and say, there's a balm in Gilead, baby. I got an ointment for my journey that if I get cut on my way, I got the resources to be healed in real time. I wish I had somebody. If I get bruised on my way, the gifts that the wise men brought was for the journey they were about to take. The Bible says that when the wise men gave the gifts, you ain't got to sit down. I'm almost. The Spirit of the Lord came to them and said, go a different way. Don't go back to Herod. Leave. The Bible says they left by a different route. And while this was going on, oh, watch this, watch this, watch this. Come on. We got the text. Let's just read the text. Go to verse 12. Yeah. And being warned of God in a dream, they should not return to Herod. They departed into their own country another way. Go to verse 13. And when they departed, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in the dream, saying, get up and take your child and his mother and flee into Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod is trying to kill your child, to destroy him. The Bible says when he arose, he had all the resources to make it. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, if you get up, God will give you the resources to make it. I don't know who that's for, but I came to tell somebody, if you get up, God will give you the resources to make it. And they stayed until Egypt, until Herod died. Whatever's been trying to kill you is going to die off first. Oh. I wish I had 2 minutes of real Holy Ghost.
sanctify. Praises in the house. Whatever has been trying to take you out of here is going to die off first. My God, I wish somebody would shout on that right there. God, oh God. All right, let's go, come on. God instigated it. It was instigated. So you don't have to be intimidated, because God's integrity is on the line. It's integrity. I want you to grab a hand next to you. Come on, let's close this thing up. This holiday season, don't sit around your tree, your lights, your fireplace, whatever you got. Your radiator, whatever it is. Whatever it is. And worry and fret and feel intimidated by life's pressures. God's an instigator. And he's trying to tell you to get up. Get up. The baby was born in the manger, but he didn't live there. That's such a word. And in our minds, we feel threatened by circumstances like those that would suggest to us compromising information like, this is where I'm going to live. No. It's just a moment in time. It's just something that you're facing right now. But it will not last forever. You have covenant protection. Covenant protection. God made the covenant with himself. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I'll be with you to the very end. And he meant every word. So whatever it is you're facing over this holiday season, be at peace. Be at peace. May the peace of God that transcends all understanding guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. I pray that you don't feel threatened by your circumstances, that you live unaware of God's divine protection. It is not going to kill you. It's going to die off first. No. No. Let that hand go. Lift those hands. Now may God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you. Give you peace. May he surround you with his favor as with a shield. May his angels camp themselves round about you. And may his precious blood cover you from now until eternity. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Love you. Merry Christmas. Enjoy your holidays.